Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I'm also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, artists, entrepreneurs, authors, marketers, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today I have with me a relatively new friend, Ashley Ingram, who has an amazing ability to hold space for women in which they can process her trauma. She does a show called The Tough Woman's Table, and she is the name of her business is Tough Woman's Coaching. Her entire message is that in allowing each other the space and the capacity to have that compassion that we need to unload the pain and the trauma that we have been through, specifically as women, we can find that place to start over and find our power. So just like me, one of the symbols that she absolutely adores is the Phoenix, and I am the Phoenix reboot. It's something that we're both very passionate about, the ability of the woman to go down in flames and rise from the ashes, a new and better version of herself. So Ashley, my love, thank you so much for being here with me today. I'd love it if you'd just share with the audience, you know, a little bit about how you got into life coaching and how you chose Tough Woman Coaching.
Oh, this is fun. And thank you so much for having me on here. I think it's great that I
absolutely
get to second time. But so what got me here? Oh man, what got me in life coaching? So it's two stories, but I'll make it quick. So what got me here was almost 6 years ago. I was heading into a separation. I was married to an addict at the time who had basically almost killed me, taken a ton of my money, And I was now 25. I was the single mom to two children now with two fathers who are both addicts. And I was living with my mom. I was working a job I hated. And I hated myself. I just remember thinking like, I remember one day thinking like, God, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to struggle. You know, you see women who are happy and they're glowing and life just seems so effortless. And I'm like, how do I do that? And I said, and I don't know where I heard it from, but I remember for the first time in my life hearing that what's going on inside of you directly affects what's going on outside of you, your circumstances. And it was the first time I think I'd ever been hit with the idea of self-awareness and responsibility for self versus blaming everything else for why my life sucked. Well, obviously it's because I'm, you know, of other. But so I said, all right, I'm going to take responsibility for what's going on. And I decided not to date. And I said, I'm going to date myself and I'm going to figure out what the hell's going on with me. I said, because I don't want to be with addicts anymore. That was like a common theme. Whether they were sex addicts, whether they were addicted to drugs, alcohol, whatever it was. And I said, and I'm going to figure out why I have all this stuff going on. And I'm going to just be a good mom to my kids. And I'm going to figure out what I want in life. What makes me happy? It was really the first time. So lo and behold, to go through this really long journey, the constant thought I had in the beginning was, man, I wish there was an older woman who had already been down the road that I was going down. That could take me by the hand, kind of like a fairy godmother, and be like, hey, listen, it doesn't have to be this bad. Here's how you kind of get through it.
Yeah.
five years later, I've moved down to Florida from North Carolina, completely uprooted my life, because I like to tell people I have a bit of a gypsy soul. I'm not never content to just stay in one spot. I said, I'm sitting there one day and I'm realizing like, oh my gosh, like I'm in this spot and I'm happy and I'm actually doing what I want to in life. And I feel successful. And I go, shit. I said, I became that woman I was looking for a really long time ago. And so you have, you know, you have that epiphany in life. And then the next thing that comes to you is, okay, well, what the fuck do I do with this? What do I do with this? All right. And then as soon as I asked that question, ads for life coaching came up. Coaches started coming into my perspective and I said, oh man, this is an actual career option. Like, right. And I realized looking back that I had already been coaching people. As I got further along, people would start naturally gravitating towards me for life advice. And I'm like, all right, well, let's do this. And when I realized how empowered I felt as a woman and I realized how important that was for my own psyche and my kids and everything else, I said, man, if I could give this to other women, teach them this or help them figure out what is this for them, then that's what I would do for the rest of my life. And I said, well, I would do it whether I was getting paid or not. Like it's really a passion thing. And so I said, all right, you know what? I just want to help women become empowered, because everything stems from self-empowerment with women. You know, when a woman feels empowered, ask her, if you were to imagine yourself empowered, what would that mean? Being able to live the life exactly as I want it, exactly as who I want to be. And that's, I think, what's most important is what's my authenticity. So Tough Woman came from the fact that if it's spelled T-U-F. So the original name, I said, what am I going to name my company? And people used to send me the word unfuckwithable, like the Urban Dictionary thing, the definition. And they're like, yeah, that's you. And I'm like, you know what? That is, like, when I read it, it's such a beautiful mindset. It's just, it's sovereignty. I remember you talking to Thomas. It's literally basically love sovereignty. It's acknowledging that I am good inside of myself. Nothing out here disturbs this because I'm so locked into it. And I think that's such a beautiful space to come from. So yeah. I said, I want to teach women to be unfuckwithable. Not like the don't fuck with me, but I'm unfuckwithable so you can't fuck with me. Like, yeah. I'm good. Whatever's going on, I'm good. And what I found, it was hard for people to pronounce. Old white men, it threw them off tremendously, which was fucking hilarious. They're like, what? Why would you want to be that way? Well, that's a starter right now. So it was very hard for people to pronounce. It was very long to put into a website. And that's how TUF came along. It's the unfuckwithable and then woman. And it ended up working out really well, because Tough Woman, who doesn't want to be a tough woman? You know what I mean? Like in a very general sense. So that's where that came from. And it stuck. And people really, really like it. They associate it as a mentality now. It's starting to pick up as a movement. So, I feel like I'm on the right path with it.
Awesome. I too just absolutely love the idea of sovereignty. I love the idea of being self-governed. I think that our external world in particular has become a place of little to no sovereignty for the individual human being. And it truly is correct when you say that when you are unfuckwithable, what that means is it doesn't matter what's going on out here. It doesn't matter what sovereignty is being offered to me in the external world. I am a sovereign being within, and there's nothing that you can do to uproot me from that place. Mm-hmm. And that is true power. That is empowerment. When you cannot uproot me from where I have been planted and where I am blooming, there's nothing that you can do to ultimately set me off my course. Yep. And I just love that. And for someone your age to be so invested in the idea of sovereignty, which is something that, and I could be showing my age here, I don't think that the majority of women who are in their 20s, especially their early to mid 20s, the idea of sovereignty has dawned upon them yet. It's more of a, I want to be free, but there's a tremendous difference between freedom and sovereignty. So I'm just really curious, how did that come onto your radar? Sovereignty.
Actually, Thomas was the one who told
me, of course,
that's what I was practicing, because so I don't know if you know who Osho is.
It sounds familiar. It's an artist, right?
No, he's an anti-monk. Well, that's what I call him. He's like the anti-monk. That's what, because he just, he like lays it out. Buddhism, all of it. So I had a gentleman friend of mine in Florida. He was this older man. He was like this white Rastafarian hippie dude, long dreads, missing teeth, but he was so cool. And what killed me is everybody judged him based on his outer appearance, but he was such a deep person to talk to. You could sit there and have conversations about the universe for hours, which I love. And he made you think. And so he turned me on to Osho. And we talked about compassion. And to me, what I learned was compassion is the ability to allow, to understand that everybody's operating at their own level. And that's okay. Because I made a comment to him that I feel saddened by the fact that more people are not conscious. And he's like, I said, and I feel bad for them. He's like, don't feel bad for them. He said, everybody is learning what they're supposed to be learning and they're where they're supposed to be. And I'm like, well, shit, that's so simple. And it took so much weight off of me. Yeah. So it didn't feel like I was now here to solve people's problems, because the other concept that came with it is nobody is broken. We're not broken. We are all just in different stages of whether we're healing, woundedness, whatever it is. And so what that allowed me to do was really come into this space of owning my own being, of saying, you know what, that's great. Like, I can just focus on myself now. And so when I was talking to Thomas about it, he's like, oh, well, that's sovereignty. And I said, oh, all right. And it was great because it works when we're talking about compassion. By being so set in who I am able to view other people's beliefs and other people's ways of being without myself being affected. So there's no triggers. There's no like getting mad because someone might have a different political view than me. That's great. That's cool. You believe that? That's awesome. That's not going to change my view of you as a person. And the other thing that I say, and a lot of people don't get this, is it allows me to see people at a soul level. You know, I see the external, but I acknowledge that we are all souls individually. Yeah. And each person's soul is to be respected. You know what I mean? At a very basic level. So, sovereignty is like, it was such an, when Thomas brought to my attention, I'm like, holy shit. Like, I had to completely rechange the values that I had written down. And I implemented those values, and I'm like, you know, but it, to me, that's, like you said, sovereignty is the true root of empowerment.
It really is. I love the work of Byron Katie. I don't know if you're familiar with her or not. If you ever get a chance to check her out, go to www.thework.com. Absolutely incredible woman. And part of her work is this idea of should and shouldn't, right? So this person should be a Republican. This person shouldn't be gay. This person shouldn't waste their money. And one of the fundamental pillars of her teaching is that if it should be that way, it would be that way. But because it's not, that it shouldn't be that way. It is exactly the way that it's supposed to be. And I think that all of us, whether we're male, female, child, adult, black, white, whatever we are, we all spend a great deal of time fighting the truth, which is reality. Reality is the truth. What's happening is happening, and that's what is. Then we add the layer of should and shouldn't to it, and now we find ourselves in direct conflict with reality. And I think for women, there are so many shoulds and shouldn'ts applied to us, especially as the givers of life, the rearers of children. There's this idea of all these things that we should and shouldn't be, and I can only imagine that the work that you do really helps a woman to start releasing those shoulds and shouldn'ts.
Yeah, because it's, to me, the most important thing is, and I say something similar, so it's the difference between want to and need to. Okay, well, I get that we all need to do a lot of things, and the reality is you don't ever need to do anything. You need to eat food, there's five basic needs, five actual needs. Everything else is a matter of our perception. Do we really, you know, so for me, it's getting to the core of, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
You should never feel like you need to do anything. You owe nothing to nobody. Even if you just fulfilled your children's basic needs, you've done your job. You don't need to do anything else. I don't need to spend hundreds of dollars on my children for their birthdays. But you know what? I want to, because that to me is a sense of a fulfillment for me. So it's just acknowledging that, what do I want to do? What actually, like, and you know what blows my mind is not many women have been asked that question, let alone ask themselves, what do I want to do? Because as soon as you ask them that and they go, you see it, and they're like, but, and it's also a great place for them to realize their self-perceived limitations, because then you go, okay, well, why don't you go do that? Then it hits. Well, da 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 da, and all the shoulds they've been told their whole life. Da da da. A lady shouldn't act like this. A lady, you know, whatever the shit is. Like, I've been told you shouldn't cuss professionally. That's not who I am, though. Like, if you know my background, this is actually me toned down. I say the F word a lot. I say it so much, people are so surprised that my kids don't cuss. And I say it's because they hear me say it so much, it's not like a shock thing to them.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, like when women get start thinking, okay, well, what really makes me happy? That's when we're able to really start doing the deep work, because what makes her happy is directly tied to the shit she's told herself she can't do, or she's been told she can't do in her life. So yeah. Then we're able to start breaking through all the shit that she's been told she is or she isn't, and getting to the core of who she knows she really is, which is just, again, tapping into that sovereignty and who she is at her core, which is your intuition, which I think all women are disconnected from. And we've been disconnected far longer than us even being alive physically. If you look back, it's been thousands of years of women just being disconnected from self. So for me, the biggest thing is bringing women back to that place.
Wow. I can only imagine that the Tough Woman Table, where you actually are creating a space for a woman to come and share the most traumatic, horrific experiences that they've had and be heard and be acknowledged in that space of pain, is that place where they really begin to release that and reconnect to themselves.
Yeah, I've had women come on and they have told me that that's the first time in their entire life that they've let alone thought about their story, but actually had a space to vocalize it and not feel judged by it. Mm. And it's the first time they've ever been able to actually view their story from a victorious standpoint. Because it's not an acknowledging like what you went through was bad, or saying, oh, you shouldn't go through this. It's acknowledging that, like, it's acknowledging the different pieces of your soul. Like, yes, I went through this. And the other thing that I get from it, and I think it's so beautiful that it gets vocalized, is all the women say, had I not gone through this shittiness in my life, I would not be able to help the people I'm helping now. And for me, it's such a beautiful reminder to everybody is there's a reason for every season that we're in. Even when it sucks and it looks like crap, there is a reason for that. Because of what I went through, because I did 5.5 years of deep, shitty work, and I remember after the divorce or after the separation, just being pissed. Like, I'm in my car and I'm screaming and I'm like, why the fuck did he do this to me? Like, and I'm going... And it's like, you know, I had to go through all that because now I can understand where a woman's coming from. And when she's going through that, I can step back into that space and have that understanding and go, okay. And so, you know, for women to be able to vocalize it, I think to me, it gives other women hope. Like, there's a reason I'm going through this hell. Like, there's a reason. And maybe one day, and I think what gives them hope too is I can help other people through it. You know, so that's another way to take them out of self. It doesn't become such a self involved thing. It's like, you know, one day I might be able to help someone with my story or whatever it is. So, I think what the table's doing is massively important. I mean, we had an episode, and this is where I realized the importance of this platform. And this woman came on, and I think she's in this group, actually, Caroline Bogard Lopez. And she is a spiritual intuitive coach for women trying to get pregnant. So she connects with spirit babies. But her journey began by her own miscarriage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we talked about that. And when she told me this in the questionnaire, because I have a questionnaire, I was sitting there. And I said, do I put warning trigger issues? And I'm like, no. I'm like, why is this a trigger issue? Like, why are we making this out to be something where we have to feel shame for sharing something that is more common than we realize? And because there was not that expectation of a trigger, we were able to talk about miscarriages. We brought in the subject of abortion and rape, and it wasn't something where there was shame or guilt attached to it. It was a very normal conversation. And I realized that importance in that moment that, you know, there was the capability to bring healing, because when we're healing, we're told that healing should look this way or that way, and what happens is because we don't see it that way, we attach shame. And we attach guilt, and we're like, oh my God, because I'm not healing that way, I'm wrong. And that's, nobody's journey is the same. And people need to come back to that space of everybody's journey is different, and we all just need to support people in whatever part of their journey they're in. And I think at the base of it all, I think what it is giving women a space to just be heard. How often does someone actually just listen to hear you?
Not very
often. Listen to respond, right?
Yeah.
But how often does someone just listen to hear what you're saying?
Yeah. It's very true. We spend a great deal of time under the impression that to have a conversation means talking. And often the most profound conversations are the ones where we do the least amount of talking and the largest amount of listening. It's one of the things that I really love about your show.
It's one of the things I actually love. It helps me out so much because it's really put me into this space of having to dive deeper into my intuition, because that's where my questioning comes from. But it also means really hearing the things that she's not saying.
Yes.
Picking up on the little things that I hear, but she doesn't. And that's why it's funny, because everybody, when I ask their questions, are like, wow, that's such a really good question. I'm like, is it? Is it a good question? I don't know. We're going to go from there. So it's good for both parts. It's a massive learning curve for me. And at the end of the day, I think what it gives back to women in general is such a thing, because my thing is if at least one woman, at least one, sees it and it changes something in her and her entire life changes, you have no idea where that ripple goes out to. Yeah. You have no idea whose life you're changing. Maybe I don't completely change the course of the feminine, but maybe that person does. And because I planted the seed, but if I hadn't, maybe that wouldn't happen. So
you have started a new group that you're offering in the Discover Your Path You platform called Ask Ashley. Would you mind sharing with the audience a little bit of what that's about?
Yeah, actually, when it first started, it was actually an idea that was brought to me by four different people. None of them are related. So it was funny. So I'm like, I feel like the universe is really saying this needs to happen. So it got brought to me. I was eating lunch with a woman, an older woman that I love. And she's like, listen, I got this girl going through this stuff. I can't help her. Da, da, da. You need to create something. Cause it was when the show was really in its infancy. She said, you need to create something where these women can just come and talk to you and can get some kind of coaching. Because, you know, thankfully coaching can be quite a lucrative thing, but there are also a lot of people that are either not necessarily ready for a coach, or maybe they don't have the finances, but you know what? They just need some help. They just need some guidance. They just need someone to hear them and say, listen, what you're feeling is valid. I've been there, whatever it is. And I'm like, well, okay. I don't know what I'm going to do with this yet, but so I created it and I looked at it, and originally what it was going to be was I was going to have like three women come on, and it was going to be like 20-minute sessions and I would help coach them. And I thought, well, what if there's women that just want to come on and have a space to talk and kind of have things reflected back to them? They don't want to be coached. They just want to be heard. And so that's how the show came to dip you. And I was like, well, you know what? And I realized the other part was I was going to make it a live show. And I'm like, I don't think women are going to show up for this. So then when I came on to dip you, I'm like, you know what? Let's make it a really private container. Let's make it as if we were a group of women out in the freaking middle of nowhere in the woods in a big ass circle like they used to do. And we were just sitting there, and whether you want to get in the middle of the damn circle and scream and rage, that's fine. We're all just going to sit there and hold that space for you to scream and rage. So that's how, and Ask Ashley really came from the Ask Abby column of the newspaper, where people would write into her with like these crazy freaking problems. I'm like, but I loved it that where she would have some people and they're like totally in their victimhood and they're like, I'm right. And she's like, yeah, no, you're not. No, you're not. Like, she would counteract their perspective. So I'm like, I want that aspect too, where we can call people out at the same time, not in a mean way, but hey, listen, that's not helping you at all.
In a lightning way. Yeah.
So, so that's how that's where at the name came from. And yeah, now it's becoming what it is. And I'm excited to see it come along, because I think women are ready to heal. I really think we're at a turning point in consciousness where we're ready to heal. And the thing about it is that people don't realize is the feminine is the energy of the earth, Mother Earth. If we heal the feminine, we can begin healing all the other stuff. Like I've done a lot of diving into this. And when you heal the feminine, you start healing the masculine in the process. Yes. And really what we need is a balance. We need to bring balance. So my goal is to, because I can get on women's level. I'm a woman. Obviously I do not have a penis and I don't have penis envy.
Good to know.
Although I'll tell you, people think that I do sometimes.
I get that same thing.
But yeah, I feel like I am called to help usher in the healing of women. Like I'm part of that phase. And my goal is to see the movement begin before I die. Awesome. Because I think in order for us to shift, this is non-negotiable now. Like, and you know what? You see it. Old white men are starting to get super triggered. So you know we're heading in the right direction. So
absolutely. Well, Ashley, I just want to thank you so much for taking this time to spend with me here today on the show. I want to take a moment to acknowledge some of our viewers, Vicky Nee, Monique, Sarah Whalen. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. And if you do come by after we're no longer live and you find this video, just hit us up with the hashtag replay. Let us know that you were here. Let us talk to you and connect with you. If you did hear something on this particular live that really has merit or value to you, and you'd like to know more about Ashley, about Tough Woman Table, about Tough Woman Coaching, about who she is. Her personal profile is tagged in this live, as is her Facebook page and her Instagram account. Get a hold of her, find out who she is, find out what makes her tick, and try and emulate some of these things that drive her in her out and out desire to really help heal the divine feminine here in our world. So once again, Ashley, thank you so much for joining me. And guys, you know that we will be back here tomorrow, same time, same place for the last interview of this week. And as always, you know I love you. We'll see you later. Bye, guys.